We have news, we have rosters, we have taxi squad, and questions. You are listening to episode 107 of the Grindline Podcast. And I am here tonight with Ryan and Tyler for our season opener episode. How are you guys doing tonight?
First of all, Greg.
What?
Happy birthday to you.
To who?
It's Tyler's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It's my birthday.
Tyler's in quarantine, though.
Quarantine on my birthday. That's a wonderful birthday gift. Someone told me, one of the guys I play Xbox with last night told me, he goes, if you don't get anything for your birthday, at least you get Corona. I'm like, geez, thanks, you fucking asshole.
We got a lot of stuff to go over tonight. I'm just going to assume both of you guys are good because we're literally less than 48 hours away from hockey. So
define good.
I mean, besides your internet issues, we're all happy.
Happiness. There we go, because of hockey.
Yes. Yeah, but we're not going to talk about football because we're not that kind of show. So I'm going to just, like I said, assume you guys are great because, you know, hockey. And we're going to jump right in because the Red Wings released their rosters today. They also released their taxi squad, and we have mailbag questions. So I think we're going to jump in first to the roster. And I'm going to say I'm not super surprised by anything. I'll run through it real quick. I'll get your guys' reactions. But like I said, there aren't a lot of huge surprises. So your forwards are Philip Zadina, Robbie Fabry, Anthony Mantha, Luke Glendening, Valtteri Filppula, Bobby Ryan, Tyler Bertuzzi, Dylan Larkin, Adam Ernie, Franz Nielsen, Matthias Broma, Sam Gagne, and Vladislav Namestnikov. Now there, the only thing that I kind of got stuck on is Adam Ernie is in the lineup and not on the taxi squad. I figured he would have been on taxi squad because, you know, fourth line plug could have put someone else younger with maybe more upside there. Franz Nielsen's also not on the taxi squad, but I assume there will be some replacements once people come back from injury. So any surprises there on the forwards for you guys?
Matthias Broma. Like, if you would have told me before camp broke that he was going to make the team, I probably would have been a little surprised. At least I would have thought maybe taxi squad, but he actually made the squad, which is pretty surprising.
Well, not going through. Did you watch him in the games, though? In the scrimmages?
Well, he was fantastic.
Well, no. I'm saying before camp.
Before we signed him?
Yes, okay. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal.
Turn into what happened with last year.
No, yeah, he could turn into a pretty surprising type of player there for the Wings.
Yeah, he was great.
Number wore 86.
That has never been worn by a Detroit Red Wing, and I'll take it. New guy.
Second coming of Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah, okay. Let's calm down a little bit there.
Yay.
But right now, it looks like Matthias Broma will be a good third liner.
Most likely.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe you might have to flex him up into the second line. It looks like he could take on that responsibility. He was one of the better showings in camp the whole time, and it wasn't just like he showed a little bit here and there. He was consistently solid. He had good intensity to his game. He was finding the open ice, and he even said it himself that the smaller ice really hasn't been a factor for him. Now, he is in game shape. He did play in the SHL before coming over here. So he has a little bit of a jump on everyone else, but I think that's more of a reason to put him in the lineup than less.
Didn't
of a
he lead scoring in the, or wasn't he close to a lead leader in scoring in the SHL last year?
Last season he was toward the top. I don't think this current season, but last season he was toward the top. But yeah, I think I wouldn't say he's a surprise to be in once we saw what happened in training camp. But I think he was a hopeful for a lot of people after we signed him just to get a completely fresh face in. And he had more offers than just the Red Wings. There were other teams that were pursuing him to join. So we're lucky to have him because he may provide some down-the-lineup scoring. But I'm not surprised after watching him play in training camp that he made the lineup.
See the guy's tattoos? They're unreal.
I was just going to mention that. He has some sweet tats going. He has some good sleeves on both arms.
Yeah. Good. We brought some art to the Red Wings. A little culture.
I think a couple guys got some art going on, if I remember correctly.
A lot of hockey players have really, really nice tattoos.
Tyler Seguin.
Yeah. Ooh. So if we move on to defensemen that have made the roster, Alex Biega, Filip Hronek, Mark Stahl, Patrick Nemeth, John Merrill, Danny DeKeyser, and Troy Stecher. Again, not really any surprises there. Biega's a plug. Stahl probably won't play. He'll spend most of his time in the press box. So you're, think so? Yeah, I do.
I don't think so. I'm not sure either.
He really provides a ton.
I think he's your third pair guy, and he still can do shutdown D role a little bit. I think that he's gonna be. I don't want to make the comparison, but your Eriksson style 2.0, where he's just a big body.
I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't think you sign a guy like or get a guy like that and not play him.
Not for, I also what, think
for how they've transformed the D and gone bigger essentially across the board. I don't see him not being an asset or a use out there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I also think that you're going to see a guy like Gustav Lindstrom get a lot of opportunity. I know he's on the taxi squad, which we'll touch on at some point, but I think he had a pretty good camp from what I saw. And I didn't see every single one of the scrimmages, but I did see a couple towards the end, and he really did look pretty good. He's a solid defenseman.
I don't know if we're going to see Lindstrom because there's one guy that wasn't mentioned, and that's Christian Juice, who they just picked up the other day, who said, what, in quarantine?
Yeah, so that's why Juice right now is he's not on the active roster, which generally is what happens when you have a situation that is out of your control and you can't play. And it is, I think his is because he's in quarantine. Mm-hmm. So he should get into games. And like I'm saying, like that's why I don't think Stahl will see a lot of time because you just picked up Juice.
See, I think Juice bumps Biega, not Stahl.
So you've got Horonic and Nemeth, Merrill, Stetcher, DeKaiser, Juice. There's your six, and you don't have Nemeth or Biega. You've got it. You carry an extra defenseman, so you carry Stahl as your extra D man. That's my thing. Is something's got to give.
I was confused. I was looking at Cap Friendly here. I'm like, wait a minute, where's DeKaiser? They've got DeKaiser on IR still.
Yeah, because the season hasn't started yet. So
DeKaiser he's going to come off IR. He'll probably be in the lineup on Thursday night, I'd imagine.
DeKaiser, absolutely.
And then, I guess maybe Stahl ends up being your odd man out. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how that's actually utilized, unless Juice is going to be a week or 2 weeks out.
I think what did they say? Is it a 10-day quarantine for people coming in, or is it a 1 week?
I think it depends.
It's not a two-week anymore.
It's 7 to 10 days typically is what I believe.
Yeah, it's not right.
Isn't that like the new CDC guideline anyway, 7 to 10 days?
Yeah.
I think because if I remember correctly, a lot of the guys that were in the World Juniors that were coming to their teams immediately after, they were talking about a 7-day quarantine for them. So I think it's seven.
So like I said, Juice, I mean, you don't pick up a guy like that and ship him straight. I mean, you could ship him straight to Grand Rapids. But you've got to keep him on your roster because he's a waiver pickup. Mm-hmm. So I think he will join in, and I think he'll probably, I mean, Juice could play your bottom pairing with John Merrill if you wanted him to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see, like I said, I don't see Biega or Stahl in the lineup after picking up Juice. Good pickup, though. I approve of it. He's a defensive defenseman. He's only 26. He played a pretty decent part in the Capitals Stanley Cup win. Mm-hmm. And when he was playing in Anaheim, he was playing like 21 minutes a night. So I'll take a young defenseman. Now, I was surprised that the Wings did not take a flyer on Oliver Kylington.
I know.
Which would have been a nice pickup. I mean, 23-year-old who has a very high ceiling. If he can even get close to it, he's worth it. But it is what it is. So if we move on to goalies, you're, of course, two main goalies, Thomas Greiss, Jonathan Bernier. No reason to talk about it. Greiss, though, looked great in training camp.
Yeah.
Bernier, not so much, but Bernier did face a tougher competition. So yeah. Bernier was going up against Mantha and Larkin and Bertuzzi and them, and Greiss got the kind of weaker side of it, but Greiss looked solid throughout camp, which very calm and composed.
Well, keep in mind, too, I'm pretty sure Greiss played in the bubble, right? So he's played hockey a lot sooner than Bernier has.
Yep. So that leaves us with the taxi squad. And this kind of surprised me a little bit. Your taxi squad is Dennis Cholowski, Michael Rasmussen, Gustav Lindstrom, Calvin Pickard, Kevin Boyle, and Giovanni Smith. Now, there are a couple things that surprised me about the taxi squad. One being we're carrying two goalies. So two on the roster, two on the squad for four goalies. I don't know if they just assume to be safe due to injury, or because if your goalie gets COVID, you're down to one goalie, and then if your goalies have been practicing together, that's both goalies have COVID. I think that's a situation I think they're trying to stop in Boston, because they won't let their goalies like anywhere near each other.
Yeah, which I think is smart. But I also wonder, because we're so far out still from an AHL season. Well, I shouldn't say so far out. We're just under a month away. But I wonder if that changes once the AHL season kicks off.
I could see that happening, because if you notice, a name that is not on our active roster or taxi squad, Evgeny Svechnikov, is right now assigned to Grand Rapids. So I think at some point he could come up to the taxi squad, and you could send Calvin Pickard back to Grand Rapids and keep Boyle on as your reserve goalie. I don't think you need to carry four goalies. I don't think that's a...
Yeah, because what the mandate or the requirement is three, correct?
Yeah, you have to have... if you don't have three on your active roster, you need to carry one on your taxi squad.
Yeah.
So the other name that surprised me on the taxi squad is Dennis Chalowski. I think he needs to keep playing. I could see the Michael Rasmussen look good at any level. Michael Rasmussen looked really good in camp. Much improved over the past his past NHL outing. But I could see maybe him needing less time, since he did play in Austria and he's warmed up. I think Chalowski needs to keep playing. He's still making, though. Again, he also looked better in the scrimmages. But I think he needs game time to work on his confidence.
Has his shot gotten better? Because I felt like his shot was just beautiful. Like, he was sniping left and right, I felt like, during training camp.
He was getting pucks on net, but I don't think his shot's really ever been his problem. His problem's been his defense.
Well, yeah, I know that. Yeah. I'm just saying his shot was beautiful to me.
I know hindsight 2020, but I mean, doesn't it kind of irk you, the fact that, you know, you have Dennis Chalowski, Michael Rasmussen, and Evgeny Svechnikov, pretty much just guys that were all first round picks and guys that are kind of just kind of hanging on at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, that's extremely frustrating, especially
frustrating.
Svech, he just can't get out of the way of injuries. That's the disappointment there. Rasmussen, I think, is close. I think of all of them, he's
the closest.
Going to be the one that cracks the roster. Mm-hmm. But again, if that's next year, I don't think that's an issue either.
No, I think Rasmussen will be in the lineup this year at some point.
I do too.
Yeah, I could see him in over Adam Ernie at any point in time.
No, I think that should have been Jemoni Smith in there. Over
absolutely.
But you have that flexibility with moving those guys around.
And you'll see some of them at the... They're going to probably have to restock their taxi squad at the trade deadline, because you're going to try and flip a guy. You could try and flip a guy like Bobby Ryan. You're going to try and flip someone like Philpola. You could flip Glenn Denning. You could try and flip Sam Gagne at the deadline to try and get something back. I have high hopes right now for Nemestikov, because he also looked really, really good.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens. And what I want to do is I want to pull up the line projections from Max.
I wonder if that's a guy that they end up trading or not.
You wonder if who's a guy?
Nemestikov.
I don't know.
I don't think they sign him. They sign him to a 2-year deal, if that's the plan.
Yeah.
Or they do, because it's a $2 million hit, but most teams are maxed out, and unless they're getting someone back, which would probably cripple a team trying to get improve themselves, I don't think that he's necessarily trade bait.
Yeah. So here was Max's stab at his final stab at the opening night lineup. So his forwards, top line is unchanged. Your Burt, Larkin, Mantha line. Second line, Nemestikov, Fabry, Zadina. That is a line that looked great in the scrimmages. Mm-hmm. I think that's the word most used. Yeah, fast, tricky, accurate. And Robbie Fabry actually looked great at center. So I'll take it. If Robbie Fabry can be your solid second line center, I think that's more than you could have ever hoped for.
I think what's nice about that line is Fabry or Nemestikov can be your center on that line.
Yeah. So those two pieces are changeable. And what you could do is, even if Bobby Ryan, when Bobby Ryan comes back, you're going to have a fight for him slotting into that second line.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which could be a good thing, because then you have one of those guys you could potentially drop down to the third line center, which then bumps Filppula down.
Yep.
I digress.
His third line was Broma and Filppula and Gagne. That seems like it'll stick also. You've got those three guys on, and I don't think that's going anywhere. Mm-hmm. His fourth line was Rasmussen, Glendening, and Nielsen. Now Rasmussen is on the taxi squad, so your fourth line's probably going to be not happy with Ernie, Glendening, Nielsen. The other name, if you guys notice that I'm not saying, is Darren Helm. Darren Helm is also on the non-active roster list. So,
do we know anything about what the hell is going on there?
No. We know unfit to play and unfit to practice, but not any reasoning.
Is it a groin again?
I don't know. It could be, like I said last time, with Helm, it could be anything. With his injury history, he's probably hurt. If he had COVID, I mean, it's been 2 weeks since training camp started almost, so... I mean, you think he would have gotten over it by now, but he hasn't practiced at all. So it's something, got to be something more serious than COVID. And not to say COVID's not serious, but I mean like longer lasting physical injury.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of what we hit on a couple episodes ago in regards to him not being able to stay healthy.
Yeah, and it seems like it's going to stay that way. But if Helm comes back, I guess it depends what they're going to do with him. Do they slot him in the lineup and waive someone? Do they put him on the taxi squad and send someone to Grand Rapids? I mean, and you got to figure
he's an upgrade over Franz Nielsen.
Yeah. So in this lineup with what Max was projecting, you put Rasmussen in the taxi squad. And honestly, depending on when he's ready to come back, you put Bobby Ryan in the lineup somewhere. You probably slide Gagne down and put Ryan in the third line and see if he can challenge for second line. So you've got the nice thing is you've got flexibility up and down the lineup with the forwards, and I like it. It's weird. It's a much more
solid top six than what we've had.
It's a more solid, I think, complete lineup than what we've had. I mean, our third and fourth lines historically for the past few years have been really, really bad.
Yeah, dog crap line, and more dog crap.
Sure.
Our fourth line is definitely a plug line again. Ernie and Glendening is going to do what you expect, but
Nielsen's going to try and skate. So that's what's going to happen there. But for your defensive pairings,
I hope he's refreshed. I mean, I get it.
Nielsen?
You would think that after all these months of not playing hockey, that he will be ready to go. But
people keep using that, but it's like, it's Franz Nielsen, man.
It's a new year, okay?
He's 36. He'll be 37 in April.
Positivity, Greg. Positivity.
With Franz Nielsen, there's been nothing to show me positivity. I mean, sure, I mean, he's a good locker room guy, and he's a vet, and he knows the game and what you need to do, but it's just the progression on the backside of 30, or even some guys, the backside of 27, just downhill from there.
I could have told you when they signed that contract that they'd be looking back 2 years after that, that it was not going to be a good
thing. Anyone with eyes could have told you that. The problem is they freaked out. Ken Holland, that was the same year Steven Stamkos was debating signing in Tampa, right? We lost out on Steven Stamkos. They're like, fuck it, throw the money at Franz Nielsen. And we're like, what? Why? Like, no, don't do that. And then
wasn't that a 7-year deal?
It was a 6-year deal. That's right.
Okay, so it was close.
It was a 6-year deal, and all of it's bad.
It was one of those like, oh, cool, we got a guy that's coming off some good years, and then we look at the contract.
You understand why you got him.
My God.
We just took all the money we were gonna throw. We could have pocketed that money and brought up someone from Grand Rapids, but instead we threw the Steven Stamkos money at Franz Nielsen. Not a smart idea.
No.
But for Max's defensive pairings, he has a top pairing of Danny DeKeyser and Filip Hronek. That is the go-to. That will be your best defensive pairing. Second pairing of Mark Stahl and Troy Stecher. And your third pairing of Patrick Nemeth and John Merrill. Now, I believe this was written before we picked up Christian Juice. No, actually, Max wrote this today. I think Juice takes Nemeth's spot automatically.
Now it's Nemeth?
Or not Nemeth. I think Juice takes Mark Stahl's spot automatically.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree. I could see what ended up happening, but I almost see them running maybe with seven forwards at times. Or I'm sorry, seven defensemen. Because Nielsen's geriatric.
Yep.
So at times they're going to let these guys go. I mean, depending on how the back-to-back goes or what the schedule and how things are coming along. I mean, they're not really overwhelmed, if I remember correctly, for how the schedule is going to be in regards to boom, 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 boom. I mean,
they've every team's going to be playing a lot. Seven back-to-backs.
But
they've also got like four stretches where they have like 4 days off.
That's what I was looking for. So I could see them rolling with 7D a little bit more. And I think that this defensive core gives them a little more bang for their buck than obviously what we've been accustomed to. So, but yeah, I would have to agree that Stahl would be the odd man out.
Yeah. But then again, you've got Alex Biega just sitting there twiddling his thumbs in the press box.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. He's been that way from the day that we picked him up.
Yeah, but so we're running into the too many defensemen problem, which is for most teams not a problem. For us, generally would not be a problem, but when our defense is actually better than it was last year, it's a problem now. So you throw in Juice, and maybe I understand why they didn't pick up Kylington. I mean, they could have just waived Biega, but
I'm surprised they actually didn't, to be honest.
Me too. But
I mean, they still technically can.
They can, but they like him, I guess. I don't know why.
I think it's because he skates.
That's a prerequisite to playing hockey.
You know what I mean.
But yeah, you're gonna run into the. I would put Juice in Stahl spot, and go from there. Maybe make Stahl the extra guy. But then again, you're carrying two extras with Stahl and Biega. I don't know what they're gonna do. They've got a roster spot open right now, so it's
they do indeed.
Yeah, and I think that will be Juice's roster spot because he's in quarantine and you can't really pick up a guy. He's got to be on the roster. So you pick up a guy and you got to save a spot for him. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know where they're trying to go with this because you would think it's probably where he's going to fall. Because how many can they have in the taxi squad?
They have four to six.
So they're maxed out. So yeah, they'd have to slide a goalie out.
You could theoretically put Stahl on LTIR, right?
He's not hurt. No, he's not hurt.
Doesn't he have a ton of concussion issues and stuff, though?
Not anymore.
What are you guys? You gonna make something up?
You're just gonna have someone come out of the tunnel and just hit him on the head?
When they traded for him, that's what I thought it was. To be honest,
they had to get rid of cap.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. That was more of a salary dump.
It was absolutely. Yeah, it was 100% a salary dump.
Yeah, it was a 1 year remaining on his deal of like what. 6 mil?
Yeah, so 5.7, but 5.7. Neither here nor there. Yeah. Mark Stahl played 52 games last season. So it's...
Definitely not LTIR.
We got him as a dump. No, we're not LTIR-ing Mark Stahl unless something mysterious happens to him. He gets allergic to his gear or something. Then we can LTIR him. But... But yeah, it's I don't see any big surprises in the actual roster besides keeping Adam Ernie on for no reason. And I don't see any... I see the surprises in the taxi squad are just not giving Dennis Chalowski more opportunities to play, where I think he still needs to develop. Mm-hmm. And having two goalies, but one of those goalies will most likely being switched out for someone else once the AHL season starts.
Yeah, that's where they probably are just going to roll with 8D then, because if the taxi squad is maxed until the AHL goes, then it's maybe Biega gets bumped down or waived at that point.
Well, you could see Chalowski go to the AHL, Biega go to the taxi squad, and Juice, I mean, because Juice is going to be back before that. Yeah, so they're going to have 8 in. Until the AHL season starts and they'll bump Chalowski out and bump one of the 8 defensemen down to the taxi squad and maybe try to fit in Darren Helm somewhere.
That's why I could see them rolling with 7D, and then you have two forwards that you can kind of rotate with, like Ernie or Nielsen as your extra odd man out.
Yeah.
I could see it rolling that way, because Bobby Ryan, we didn't mention him on the roster per se.
He's injured, yep.
He's got something going on, I'm assuming probably lower body, as is the case at this point in the season, typically.
Yeah.
So... Yep.
All I know is there's a lot going on, and we won't know until Thursday what is actually going to happen.
And what's worse is that they don't, because of the changes they made when the bubble started in regards to reporting the injuries and whether or not someone's sick.
The new CBA stuff.
With what we already, little we did know before, we know even less now.
Yeah, unless they have COVID, and then the league will announce it, like fucking Dallas Stars with 17 COVID 17 cases.
17 of the 27.
Jesus Christ.
Out of 12,000 tests, though, I mean, that's...
Sagan and the boys were getting after it, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, with each other, apparently. Like, ew. I don't understand, like, you gotta be smart, guys.
That's impressive. It really is.
Is it impressive, or is it entirely stupid?
Take that as you will.
It's impressively dumb.
Yes,
we'll go but
with that. That's a good way to put it all together.
Yeah, I don't understand. I completely don't understand, but whatever. There's what at the beginning they were saying, oh, well, these are the teams that are going to have people in the stands, and Dallas was one of them. And I'm like, you can't have people in the stands if you don't have players on the ice. Maybe. So it's becoming a cluster in Dallas, and it's a lot of the southern states. And Florida says now that the Tampa's not going to have people in the stands. It's just not going to happen. So teams are going to ruin it for themselves is what they're going to do. So maybe a little less partying with the boys, and it probably wasn't that. It was probably one person had it. They got on the ice with a bunch of other people, and now they all have to quarantine unless they've all tested positive, and then that means they were just partying together or something.
Yeah, right.
So we'll see what happens. But like you said, that opens up. Oh, they're going to run a freshman roster over there in Dallas?
Who knows? John Shannon just posted literally 3 minutes ago something different from the return to play bubbles last summer, effective with the start of the season. This goes along with what we were saying. The league will provide regular updates on the results of tests administered to players, including the identities of those players.
Yeah, well, we knew they were going to say the names, but the league has to name them. The teams cannot. So if you get something other than COVID, you're just going to be deemed unfit to play or practice per new CBA rule.
God, that's going to be awful for those writers.
That's annoying.
It's going to piss me off. And then two, if you've got COVID, the league is going to stand up at their podium with a scroll. One of those big ones where they hold it up and the bottom falls out and like rolls along the floor. And they're just going to stand there and read your name off like you're at the goddamn Renaissance Festival.
Well, let's just hope it's not that many.
From the COVID, the COVID scroll is what your name is going to be read from. It's going to come out ringing a bell and talking about COVID. So,
well, we have some people on Twitter. Well, not the Twitter is the best place to judge things from, but you see people on Twitter freaking out that the Stars had some positive tests. Oh, we need to shut the league down and this and that and the other thing. It's like,
I mean, shut the Stars down if they can't get with it.
The Stars would be the Marlins of the NHL. You know,
at the beginning of
baseball season, the Marlins got shut down for like 2 weeks. I mean, that's, I guess, pretty much what's happening with the Stars, although I guess they were back on the ice today. So,
well, that's what Gary Bettman said. He's like, we got to be agile this season. It's like, no shit. Every sport that wants to play has to be agile. You have to be able to, at a moment's notice, edit your schedule. So... we're going to move on to our mailbag. I did a call for questions earlier, and we actually got quite a few. So we're going to start...
I love how surprised you are by that. Like,
we're going to start fresh, real quick, with our friend Pete, in the form of a question that says, fuck the Carolina Hurricanes? just any team that we go up against, but specifically the Chicago Blackhawks.
Fuck the Blackhawks.
Yes, fuck the Blackhawks.
But yes, Pete, the answer is yes. We all agree. For question number two, is Little Caesar from Jason Parr's at Jason Parr. Is Elsie going to have a virtual octopus on the ice each time we score this season? They won't need CGI to simulate the lack of fans, but every once in a while, an octopus still hits the ice. We need these guys to feel comfortable to stand a chance this year. I said, that's a fucking great idea. And I even quote tweeted it at the Red Wings. They just do a little, like, now, I don't know if you guys watched.
You can do it from, like, when they do their pregame show.
Did you guys watch the wild card football game, Chicago and New Orleans, on Nickelodeon?
Okay, no, good. Not on Nickelodeon.
It was amazing. Whenever a team got a touchdown, they like shot virtual slime into the end zone. And when they were kicking a field goal, they put like SpongeBob's face between the crossbars. And it was phenomenal. And it was probably the most entertaining football game I ever watched. The game itself was boring as shit. But yes, the production of the Nickelodeon game was next to none. And I think they need to do some stuff like that with professional sports this season. If there are no fans in the stands, you need to make it a little more fun. So I'm 100% for virtual octopus on the ice. And he even said you can have a person go out and act like they're scooping up the virtual octopus, which I think would be great. You just have Al come to the doors and swing around a pretend virtual octopus.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I mean, let's make it fun. I think that's the point of this year.
I think you could have one of the PR people that are still in the building go grab an octopus from one of the markets and still throw it on the ice. That's what I think.
you could, but I think that I think a virtual octopus, just making it fun, and you've got the technology to do it. It's not hard, and I think it'd make things a little bit more, you know, lighthearted in these trying times.
It'd bring it back to the days of old, because, you know, they cover the seats in red, so it's like they're back at the Joe or the when else. No. Not going there again.
No, we're not doing that. So we're going to move on to our next question from Chris at Fopac Jack on Twitter. Who scores first? My response was not us. So I think he meant who on our team scores first.
Mantha.
I want to give it to Zadina.
Oh, pucks in net.
I want Philip Zadina to start this season strong, and he looked very confident in our training camp and laser focused. Mantha just seemed to be putting pucks in the net at will, but that's, I think, partly because he's Anthony Mantha and was going against Bernier. But Philip
Zadina, I'm going to one up both of you guys.
Philip Zadina scored against Grice a couple times.
I'm going to one-up both of you guys and go with the new captain of the Red Wings, Dylan Larkin. That's who's scoring the first goal of the game and the season.
I hope you're prophetic in this and that he's named captain tomorrow.
You think
he is going to be named captain tomorrow.
You think he's going to come out with that C on his chest and put the puck in the net in like the first 2 minutes just to assert his dominance?
Just like he did in his first game against the Maple Leafs as a rookie. Mm,
beautiful.
That was unbelievable.
The entire Red Wings fan base will simultaneously climax. It would be great. But no, I'm gonna go with Philip.
I feel like
Zadina.
You need to put this. You need to tweet this out that we have our first goal. You have to pin that tweet or something.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do it. I'll do a poll. I'll do a Twitter poll on it. But I think that the Zadina, who I'm considering this his rookie season, will come out strong.
The way he's looked. I mean, the little backhand goal that he had, I think it was one of the drills the other day. I think in everyone that you've talked to, I shouldn't say that we've talked to, everyone that's talked about him on the team, they see something different out of him. And I think that this could be his breakout year.
Yeah, it's the confidence, man.
I hope I'm not wrong, but I think, yes, confidence is exactly it. And he was doing it over there and overseas, and now he's back and he's ready to go. And I think having that leg up and playing will help him even more. And the dude's been hungry since day one, and he's gotten better every year. So he's doing what we would have hoped for as fans. So if this is the year that it clicks and he helps that top six and he brings secondary scoring that they've lacked so fucking much, then perfect.
Maybe he'll do enough to make people not call him a bust.
Ryan, what's disappointing here is the fact that he doesn't get to fill the Canadiens' net with goals here this year.
Touche. Or Ottawa.
Wouldn't it be sweeter, though, if he fills Chicago's net?
Yes, well, that's true. He did score a really nice goal against the Blackhawks last year. A little short side over, I think it was Crawford at the time.
I think it makes me happier than that Chicago's suffering.
So the other thing I noticed about Zadina during training camp is that he's finding open ice a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just playing against his own teammates, but that last game was pretty intense for a training camp game.
He's definitely gotten faster.
Yeah, faster, more better vision. He's just, he knows where he needs to be and he plants himself there. And it's not that he's just scoring from his normal circle. I mean, one of his goals, yeah, he was in tight on his offside and still scored. So it's Zadina is figuring out how to get open, and I think he's going to be pretty dangerous this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had, I'd say I expect 20 plus out of him goals.
You think with the shortened season he'll get there?
Yeah, 56 games, 20 goals. I don't think it's that off, that far off. I think he could do it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that, I think that's a possibility.
So what we got? We got Mantha and him hitting 20.
Yeah, Mantha might hit 30. Larkin could hit 20. Bert, I'm hoping hits 20. So if you have, but again, you've got to see who else is going to score. So maybe you get 10, 15 goals from Broma. Maybe you get 10, 15 goals from Bobby Ryan. Maybe you get 15 to 20 from Robbie Fabry. You've got to figure out where, because your line with Zadina and Fabry and Nemestikov, Nemestikov's going to score some goals. Mm-hmm. So you,
I think that is the line to watch.
Yeah,
this year.
We're not going to get blown out as often as we did last season, and you're going to see a lot more secondary scoring. I think not a lot. We're going to see far more secondary scoring than he did last year.
Really, you can compare Fabry last season to what he had. Because he had 52 games at Detroit, 14 goals. So,
yeah, and
that's
he's got
the likely expectation.
He's got better line. I mean, arguably better line mates this season. So
maybe he'll stick to and they can actually stick together and play and not get thrown around everywhere.
And but he is playing center now, though, so he may be a little bit more worried about his defense.
Yeah, maybe the apples go up.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, you see him put up more 17 points, but he might score. He might have less goals.
That could be a good thing, though.
Yeah. I mean, as long as someone's scoring, yeah, or Nemestikov.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you expect from Nemestikov?
Goals or points?
Yeah. Oh, well, or points, I guess.
I hope Nemestikov hits 30 points. I don't think that's unrealistic for a shortened season. 30 points in 56 games. Well, I mean, so let's say Nemestikov hits between 25 and 30 points.
I think that'd be an appropriate guess as to where he could land.
As a second line winger.
In 54 games with Ottawa, he had 25 and 54. The Rangers, he had 31 and 78.
Was that Ottawa last year?
Yeah, 1920.
So as bad of a team. Mm-hmm. Not as bad of, but a bad team. He's moving from one bad team to another bad team. I would say our team this year should be on par with Ottawa last season. With the upgrades we've made. So, yeah, I would say in that amount of games, 25 to 30 points for Nemestikov. Yeah,
I think that's fair to go with. Fair. He's a pretty balanced player. So, unless they're truly setting up Zadina left and right, then I would expect he's going to be about 50-50 split.
Nemestikov's also super inspired to be playing on the wings. I mean, he sits like right across from Kozlov's picture in the locker room. I mean, it's just, he says he's just happy to come to the rink every day, and it's like a dream come true for him to be playing on the Red Wings. So, him and Merrill. I mean, we got a bunch of, Yzerman went and got, people are just like, damn it, I wish I could play for the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. So, it's good. It creates an inspired group of guys and guys that want to be there and want to play hard for the logo on their chest. So, Nemestikov 25 to 30 is, I think, should be realistic.
Yeah, if the line clicks the way we're anticipating or hoping, I think you're not going to be too far off on that. If he's hitting 30, then they're actually, the Wings are probably winning more games than we're expecting.
Yeah, which is, I don't want to say it's the hope. I hope they perform exactly like we think they're going to perform, bottom five in the league. But if they overperform that, that means that we're trending in the right direction and Stevie might have to re-sign some people you didn't think we'd have to re-sign.
Yeah, or they're scoring a lot and still not winning, which is also potential.
Good. It's also good, yeah. So we're going to go on the next Twitter question from Eric Daniel at Eric Halstead. Realistically, where will this team finish? Especially seeing as COVID could have huge impacts on certain teams, and that could technically play to our or other teams' advantage. And I'm actually going to let Ryan start with this one. I want to get his his prediction on where the team will finish?
We go on points.
I just league standing. I'll tell you that Micah at Ineffective Math on Twitter has us ending right above the San Jose Sharks at, I believe, 54 points.
He does have 54
in 56 games.
At 55.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's obviously a huge improvement over last season, and anything can be an improvement over last season, but I would say, about 55 points is going to be appropriate. Maybe I think they could push for 60, because if they're an improved team as we are hoping for, then that means the blowouts are gone, and they're also, some of those one goal games could swing their way, leading to an overtime game, which means they're going to be picking up some points, and the potential of moving into that range is there.
Yeah.
However, 60 would be a godsend. 54, because the expectation is the playoffs in the Central is going to be 62.8 points for the projection, which puts them obviously several games below that of losing out on. So I would say my guess would be about 55 points.
Okay. If we hit 55 points without overtime losses, you're looking at about 27 and a half games. So we say 28 games would take us to 56 points. That's 28 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a 56 game season. So that means we're above 500.
Yeah.
I
can see it. Now, again, I think this is the highest point projection I've seen from them with Micah. I've seen him as low as, I believe, 49 points, which is what I think Dom in The Athletic has him at.
I'm going straight 50.
You're going flat 50?
Flat 50 points.
I'm going to say anywhere between 50 and 60. I think they'll be bottom five in the NHL. They might even be bottom two in the NHL with San Jose and even Ottawa still down there, I think. But
I don't know, man.
It's going to be interesting because of how short this year is. Like,
you need a hot goalie. You get a hot goalie that goes on a 10-game streak of just being unstoppable. Like, you're in the playoffs.
If Bernier repeats some of what he did last year, you know that they're going to play well. And if Greiss even does remotely what he's done, granted he had much better defenses in front of him, like, they can steal some games here with goaltending.
That's why this season is going to be so interesting, because we know that the team is not insanely improved, but I think we're improved enough where we can hold our own, and if our scorers get hot, and if our goalies get hot, I mean...
This is a very... The attitude on this team, I think, is much different than what it was.
They're hungry.
I mean, obviously they're pissed off.
They want to eat those W's, Ryan.
Well, they were shit. So, yeah, they're hungry. I mean, but the new faces that they brought in, it's a new team.
Yep. New team, so, new attitude, new GM. Yzerman ain't going to let them be losers, like giant losers. No. So...
But I don't know. I think 55 would be a best case scenario. But like I said, if they can flip around some of these one goal games and push them to overtime, that's where they can make up some points and make it interesting.
Yeah, I think the COVID angle is the other one to take. Like, Dallas right now decimated, and I guess it's if you've got six, and it depends, I guess, how your makeup of your taxi squad. Like, right now we've got two defensemen, two goalies, and two forwards. I imagine one defenseman will get, or one goalie will get swapped out with a forward. You're going to carry through an extra line and an extra pairing. So,
which makes sense.
Yeah. So, but if you've got six guys or seven guys that go out with COVID, your team's got to shut down unless you can emergency call a person from the minors, which is what they're trying not to do. So, I guess COVID is the real wild card in all of this, where if we're like, oh shit, we're going up against Carolina right now, but 2 days before our game, Carolina announces that their top line is out with COVID, we've got a chance to win that game.
Mm-hmm. That's what is going to make it very, very interesting.
It's like,
because the thing is
extremely unpredictable.
But you got to watch it too, because the likelihood, I mean, who knows how the vaccination piece is going to go. All of it depends on the state, more or less. But you got to think, as we move further into this season, the likelihood of teams getting their hands on this because they're going to start getting into those that region of like the not.
You look around March. Around March is probably when the a lot of the general public. Teams. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where that's where that's so from here to March, April is where, like you said, if COVID hits a team, this is where you can make up those, get those points that you might be able to steal. And March, April is where things are going to really start to matter. And if teams are starting to get their vaccinations in and like the public starting to get more widespread in that sense, then who knows?
Do you think that'll be public knowledge, like when those guys end up getting it or no?
No, yeah.
The vaccine?
Yeah. I know in Canada, one of the only stipulations of you know, the provinces, you know, approving them playing in their home barns was basically, you know, promoting, you know, social distancing, wearing masks. And then, you know, when the vaccinations and vaccines and stuff become available, for the players to kind of endorse that as well and the league to endorse it too. So I don't know if that has to do here in America as well, but I know in Canada, that's what they're going with.
Kind of doing like a public service thing where you start seeing athletes and celebrities starting to get it.
Yep.
It's actually a good idea.
That's what makes the public, a lot of the public that's hesitant, do it. Mm-hmm. So, COVID, I think, and that's a good point, is COVID could make this season real interesting, depending on how fast it catches on in a lot of these places. But we are going to move on to our next question from, and geez, long Twitter handles, guys, at the Easy Speakcast, which is another podcast. Hello. They ask, what type of impact will Bobby Ryan have on the team? And then, when do you see the likes of Sider and Valeno making an impact on the roster, next year or later? So I will start with this one. I think Bobby Ryan, and I'm going to kind of go off on this, is Bobby Ryan should be an inspiration to every player on the team. What Bobby Ryan had to go through, realizing he had an issue, leaving right after a game to go get help, and then coming back and, like, in his first game back, like, scored a hat trick, and then wanting to be here and wanting to help these guys. And he even said himself that he's not a super vocal rah-rah locker room guy, but he's a vet in this league. He's been around the league a long time, and I think he provides that leadership piece, a leadership piece to the team, veteran leadership piece. And I think he will help keep the guys grounded. I think he can help the team win more often than not, because Bobby Ryan, I think, still has game left in him.
No, I would agree. I think he's going to be one of those that he's going to be the quiet inspiration type, where it's a bad team on paper, but you look at the way, and we kind of hit on this on other episodes, of how he praises the core, if you will. So like Larkin, for instance, how much of an impact he had really on bringing him to Detroit.
Yep.
That is what you want to see, especially a guy that was a former top pick in the league. So I think that he is going to be, you notice that the moves that Iserman's been making, and this is the type of character, top player, that he wants on the roster to really fit a role. And he can, if this is his re-coming out party, to try to go to a team that's going to win, or he just sticks it out with Detroit because who knows, he loves it that much. But he's only a $1 million cap hit. So a team that's going to be tight can still make the move if he's got that type of impact. But do you want to do that? I mean, if he's going to bring you a second-round pick, then I guess you have to do it. But at the same time, he is the type of guy, he's not a Justin Advocator or a Franz Nielsen, somebody that's just kind of been around making their money and not providing. I think he can actually provide for the team, give them an extra, like we already saw it in the training camp, the between-the-legs pass that...
Yeah, like insane.
Out of nowhere. It was one of the most talked-about things we had from the training camp.
That was sick.
Yeah.
So he brings you an extra level that I don't think you would have expected 2 years ago when we knew that they were shit.
No, and even if you go back 2 years ago to the 2018-19 season, Bobby Ryan played 78 games and had 42 points. Mm-hmm. Like, Bobby Ryan's not a scrub. I mean, even if you put him in Franz Nielsen's spot, he's still going to do something. So Bobby Ryan,
he provides a spark that they don't have.
Bobby Ryan is what you were hoping you got in Franz Nielsen when you signed him.
Now, but, granted, there he is 33 years old.
Yeah.
So he's on the way down.
Yeah, but, I mean, he improved from his 2017-18 season where he had 33 points in 2018-19, picked that up to 42. It was 16 more games. And then in the last season is when he decided he needed to go get help. But, I mean, it's an important... I think Bobby Ryan's going to be an important piece to this team. Going forward. Agreed. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't trade him at the deadline and re-signed him, depending on how he performs.
So kind of like a Mike Green situation from a couple years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mike Green was a good veteran leader on the defense. He could help the young kids coming in. He provided some offense for a while, and then he just kind of fell off a cliff. Yeah, I think Bobby Ryan, if Bobby Ryan comes in and puts up, I mean, 30 points in 56 games, or if he comes in the, I guess, depending on how hurt he is, could come in and put up 25 points. If he could do 0.5 points per game, I think Bobby Ryan might be worth keeping around, even if you're going to put him, if next season maybe you buy out Franz Nielsen, you could slot Bobby Ryan on the fourth line.
Or you trade, or Nielsen ends up being a cap saver for somebody.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but I think that, and maybe we're giving Bobby Ryan too much credit, but I think there are a lot of people out there that are not giving Bobby Ryan enough credit.
Yeah. I think there's going to be more that are going to be critical to what we had to say about it, but
yep.
Oh, well. yeah.
So we're going to go on.
What was the rest of that question, though?
When do you see the likes of Sider and Valeno making an impact on this roster, next year or later? Next year, definitely. Yeah,
both next year.
Yep. There's it'll be interesting.
Potentially, I mean, depending on when their season is done this season. Yeah, anyways.
Yep.
Depending on when the SHL is complete for them, which is likely end of March, April, depending on if they get into the playoffs, we could see Sider get some action this season.
So Sider will be in the playoffs. Rogel's a real good team. Sider will if Sider sees any time, it will be April, anywhere from mid to late April.
End of season.
Yeah,
for sure.
Valeno, Malmo's not great. So
they're among the worst teams in the SHL, I think.
That's the other thing is you could see Kevin Boyle or Calvin Pickard get booted and Valeno go on the taxi squad.
You think he'd go taxi squad?
Could. Just because he's played a whole season. Yeah, he's played a full season of hockey already.
Yeah.
So if he's needed, I mean, he could come in.
I would think that he'd be more valuable going straight to Grand Rapids, though.
Well, yeah. Sure. But is that going to, one, tire him out more because he's been playing with men this entire time in the SHL?
Yeah, or, but I mean, it's a lateral move in a way.
Sure, but could it technically putting him on the taxi squad, he'd be entering his offseason, but he'd still get to travel and practice with the team.
True.
So he would spend
it's
his...
It's not like they're burning a year of his...
Yeah.
Anything.
He could spend his technical time off playing, like practicing with the Red Wings, and then if he's needed in two or three games, he could get in at the end of the season. So I think before the end of the season, both Valeno and Sider will probably have their 9-game trials. But Joe Valeno's been very impressive over in the SHL.
Mm-hmm. So he's playing the full ice game that we were hoping for.
Yeah, next season is going to be real interesting if Robbie Fabry stays at center. Valeno will probably start as your third line center next season. And work his way up. But Sider, I mean, I think from day one, I think within 5 years, Sider will be one of the top defensemen in the league. So
I agree. You watch some of the highlights, you watch him just in games, and he's just unbelievable. The reverse hits, the dangles, he has a great shot. He's good on the power possession. Play. Yeah, it's just... He's such a good player. It's unbelievable. And the fact that when, you know, he was drafted, everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy? And now, you know, he's becoming a household name.
Yeah. I think he's one of the ones that most of the analysts are very excited for. Mm-hmm. And all of hockey, I think, eventually will know Mo Sider. And he's going to put, if not Stützle this season, I think Sider is going to give Germany a very big hockey name going forward.
They've got it.
They do, but I mean more exposure.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to have even more depth to add to.
Yeah, so you're going to have a stud defenseman like Sider. You're going to have what's looking like a really, really good forward in Stützle. I mean, you already had good German players, but I think they're going to kind of take it to that next level.
Well, I mean, that's what, 3-4 elite players, and not just like good players and potential elite players.
Yeah, and we'll even see, I guess, if you look at second tier, like J.J. Paterka was really good in the World Juniors too and could be a solid mid-six forward in the league.
Is he a draft pick? Buffalo, right?
I don't remember who picked him, but yeah, he got picked in the second round, I think. So
that's what I thought.
Second or third. But yeah, Germany is going to become, I think, one of the hockey... It already is kind of one of the hockey hotbeds, but I think it'll get more exposure with people like Sider and Stützle. But yeah, I think they'll have an impact, full impact next year, but I think they'll get their tryouts this season.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Nope. So our next question comes from Joey D, which is at Death and Stuff on Twitter. What does success look like for the Detroit Red Wings this season? And Tyler, I'll let you start with your opinion on the Red Wings' success definition.
I think the same thing as what we've looked at over the last couple of years. I mean, this year's a little bit different because, you know, obviously the elephant in the room and COVID and all that stuff. But, I mean, I think it's just more about kind of trying to see who you have going forward in the future here. I mean, you know, and obviously making sure that the young guys kind of sort themselves out and get better and all that stuff. That's what I'm looking for in this year. I mean, you'd be a fool to say that you're expecting the playoffs, but, you know, you're expecting to, you know, start to be a little bit more competitive and, you know, have these guys kind of sort their way out and, you know, see if a guy like Namestnikov and guys like that are guys that we're going to keep around here. And then, you know, kind of just see if guys like Chalowski, Rasmussen, and Svechnikov are guys that are either going to be, you know, busted first round picks or if they're going to actually crack the lineup.
Not being last place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not being the worst team in hockey for
a
change.
That's it.
Honestly, if they make it outside the top five, I think that's a win.
I'm going to say just not getting our asses handed to us every single game.
Not having a running tally of 4-goal losses.
Being competitive, just keeping it, taking the lead and maybe losing it, or just not getting like 5-1, but showing that there's development. I want to see development among the younger players. I want to see Zadina just take over and destroy this league. I want to see some good stuff from Broma. I want to see the new acquisitions actually do some stuff. I want to see some solid play from Domestikov and Stetcher, who also looked like commanding the blue line in training camp. I just want to see the team. I don't care if we're last. I just don't want us to be last by like 30 points. If maybe it comes down to at the end of the season and we only are last by 2 or 3 games. That's fine with me. I just want to see improvement. If in a 56-game season we can get more than 17 wins, that's improvement. Mm. But that's what I want to see. Like, there are a lot of people that I've seen say, well, you just accept losing. You should never accept losing. It's like, no, you look at the team. You look at it on paper and in person, and you say, this is not a great team. It's a bad team, but it's not any more a horrific team than what it was last season. So I want to see improvement from the people who have been improving. I want to see guys like, and I know Dylan Larkin is chomping at the bit to get out there and just, he even said himself, he's like, there's a next gear to my game that I'm trying to find. So, and that's what will take Larkin from borderline to elite, is that next gear being complete 200 foot, being a better defensive player and just continuing to be a good setup guy like he is, and then scoring goals. So I want to see improvement from individual players, and I want to see us not be like 25 points behind the next person in last place. So that's what my success looks like. for anyone that's saying success is the Stanley Cup, you're delusional. Success is just improvement over what we were. And with a 60% different team, I don't see a reason for not improving.
I'd be very concerned if it was worse.
Yeah, no, me too. I'd dump the entire team. Bye. You just start over. So our last Twitter question before we wrap up the show tonight comes from Randy Zick at Fleb1213. What do we expect to see in the line of goalies? They seem to be a little short in this department with all the focus on the D-line and offensive line. So I initially responded with, in the meantime, before we answered on the podcast, you can look up Keith Petrozelli, Carter Guylander, Jan Bednosh, Victor Brattstrom, and Jesper Eliasson for stats and progress. Carter Guylander was recently named the goalie of the week in his league. Keith Petrozelli posted a shutout the other night. His progression is a lot better than it was previously. So I have a lot of confidence in Keith Petrozelli. Carter Guylander could have been a sleeper pick of, I think it was the Cider draft where he picked up Guylander in like the 7th round. So that's another one I would keep an eye on. And then we just picked up Jan Bednesh, who went to the World Juniors, and I don't think he got in a game, but he was selected for the World Juniors. So I think people are freaking out about our goalie pipeline, and I think it's a little more decent than people give it credit for.
I don't even know what to expect from a goalie anymore. I just hope that they get better.
Not destroy their groin.
Don't pull the unfortunate downfall of Jimmy Howard from last season. Anything from that is an upgrade at this point, because we haven't had a decent goalie in years. I mean, really, if you think about the Wings' history, they've always had just an average guy that's been back there other than Dominic Hasek. So are they going to have somebody that's going to be like that? Maybe. I don't know. For me, the one position I can't talk shit about or understand without is goaltending, because I don't know what they're going to do. Like, Larson was a bum.
But Larson is still a good prospect. He just needs to find his game at the next level.
I didn't mean to say he was a bum. I was going to say bum.
He was a bum last season.
Isn't he in the Danish league right now? Yeah,
sent him back. Mm-hmm. It was just disappointment.
Well, the thing is simple. he was playing for Toledo last season. Toledo's not playing this season.
No.
So
he's not going to be in the AHL, so he has to do something.
Yeah. So I will see how he progresses, but I still wouldn't count out Philip Larson. And I'm not counting in Caden Fulcher, because Caden Fulcher is either an ECHL or an AHL goalie. So
yeah. So it's either, are they going to have it come from within? Are we going to find the diamond in the rough like Stevie had in Tampa? Or are they going to have to try to get somebody through free agency that's going to actually come in and revamp what they have back there?
We have a better goalie pipeline than I think a lot of people realize. It's just keeping track of goalies is not fun, but I have higher hopes for Petrozelli and Carter Guylander. So, Tyler, you got nothing goalies?
I mean, that's pretty much it. Petrozelli kind of surprises me a little bit. You know, they took him, I think it was in the Rasmussen draft, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been even the Chalowski draft, I'm not sure. But in terms of him, I mean, you know, he went to Quinnipiac and he struggled for a while, and I'm glad to see that he's picked it up a little bit. But Bednesh didn't play at all in the World Juniors, which kind of surprised me a little bit as well.
Yeah, me too. But if your goalie's doing well, there's not really a reason to swap. So,
He's Slovakian or Czech Republic?
It's Czech.
Okay, the Czech, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see our goalies going forward, and I suspect a goalie, off-season goalie movement somewhere, just to pick something up, but we'll see what happens there. But yeah, that's going to do it for our Twitter questions, and I think we're like 10 minutes over. So we're going to wrap up tonight. I'm just going to do my final thoughts first, just to say that Dylan Larkin's captain ceremony better be spectacular and make me cry. Oh, that was the last question. The last question that I got on one of the replies was, is it okay to cry when they named Dylan Larkin captain? And my response is, yes, everyone will be. So it'll be a very emotional moment. I'm assuming it'll be some kind of half hour show showing the history and all that. If anyone can do it, it's the Wings. But yeah, I'm just excited to see Dylan Larkin be named captain within the next couple days. Ryan?
So because I was interested in the four goals allowed by the Red Wings, so it wasn't the four goal losses, it was how many times they allowed four goals. So leading right up to the COVID shutdown, they had allowed 44 games last season of at least four goals as of March 10th, 2020.
Jesus Christ.
So anything in their goaltending armada can be an improvement over that. And unfortunately, we know that Jimmy suffered at the hand of most of those, as his record indicated. But I just wanted to throw that out there for you so we can relish in the pain a little bit. But no, we're 2 days out as of recording this from Red Wings hockey. I can't wait. Tomorrow night's going to be fantastic. I think the first game's on at, like, what, 5:30 p.m.
Eastern? 5:30, Pittsburgh, yeah. Philly.
Mm-hmm. And there are, I think the report was 116 consecutive days with hockey on.
It's beautiful.
Yep. Just nonstop.
I love it. So it's exciting. You can see, after all the stupidity in the world, that hockey Twitter is finally coming back together in celebration of
waking up from its hibernation.
Oh, it's a much happier time on there. So rejoice, enjoy. Got to get me some Molson for watching these games. So.
Yep.
Go Wings, yay! That's all I got.
Twitter?
Tyler.
Twitter.
RDRN 33.
RDR. You want to spell that out for us, Ryan?
No.
Okay, so my final thoughts are pretty similar to Ryan's. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the first game on Thursday, and we're recording this on January 12th, my birthday. And
happy birthday!
thanks, guys. I appreciate it. But no, we're definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the Hurricanes are in town, so that should be interesting in itself. One of the better teams last year, in terms of in the regular season, then the shutdown happened. So, but that team always scares me. So we'll see what happens. But it'll just be good to see the Red Wings play after what has it been, 10 months now. So we've gotten almost close there. So like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are looking forward to it. Let's just drop the puck and let's see what happens on this season. And definitely looking forward to see if Dylan Larkin gets the C before opening night. I would imagine he would. And you can follow me on Twitter at SealDog91.
You can follow the Grindline Podcast on Twitter at GrindlinePod. You can also follow us on Facebook. We are also on Instagram. You can check out our merch at redbubble.com by searching the Grindline. We also like to give out a shout out to Howie's Hockey Tape. If you use the promo code Grindline at howieshockeytape.com, you get 10% off your order. If you use that same promo code on Bring Hockey Back, you get 12% off. We also like to give a shout out to Founders, who is the official beer of the Grindline Podcast, and out to Upper Deck, who provides us with a bunch of cool stuff to give away to our listeners. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Super happy to have hockey back, and go Wings. And that'll do it for Ryan and Tyler. I am Greg. You stay classy, Hockey Town.